just have to learn to embrace your mistakes. And she walked up and grabbed me and hugged me so tight. God wants us to embrace our mistakes, give them to Him, and let Him handle it. Okay? That's right. All right, get ready. We get ready to have some. Look, guys, this is the first year the guys have done Advent. All right? So just to make sure it's working, I'm out here praying. Now, y'all hold on, I'm praying.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. You're awesome.
Amen.
You are powerful. Yes.
Let us pray. Gracious God, as the Advent season begins, we cry out to you. We come to you looking for hope. When everything else we rely on fails us, our only hope is in you.
Yes.
When we do not understand what has happened, we hope in you.
That's right.
We can hope for better days because we trust you.
Yes.
We know you, and we know you are here with us, no matter what we are facing. Some of us see only darkness in this time of year. Some of us find life overwhelming. Some of us are filled with Advent joy. Wherever we find ourselves today, loving God, remind us that our hope is in you.
Yeah.
Be with us on this journey. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get on.
Except he had one weird habit. He liked to eat
grass. Not just a little bit, but in quantities that would make a lawnmower blush. And nothing it seen could cure him of it. One day the handy man lost his wrench in the tall grass while he was working outside, and looked and looked and looked, and it was nowhere to be found. As it was getting dark, he gave up for the night and decided to look the next morning. When he awoke, he went outside and saw that the dog had eaten all the grass in the area around which he'd been working, and now his wrench lay in plain sight, glittering in the sun. I told you, he gets, you know. Going out to get his wrench, he called the dog over to him and said, "Oh, grazing mace, how sweet the hound that saved the wretch for me." Okay. That was the new book. Glory to the Lamb of God. So now, Advent lessons. You know, looking at Advent, thinking about Advent, thinking about what Christ did for us. And it's amazing that today, the very first day of Advent, is what we know about hope. And so today we're going to talk about God with us brings hope. Advent is hope in hopeless times. Amen. Hope in hopeless times. So quickly, y'all, you're here, let's just pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this chance. Lord, I thank you that we've got this opportunity to be in your house to experience joy unspeakable, full of glory, to experience your healing power today, to experience your communion today, to experience the joy of Advent today. And Lord, we know, God, that you got this. And we trust you 100%. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So what is hope? You know, I got a hope candle. Right? It says hope right there. Alright? Hope candle. Well, what is hope? I'm glad somebody asked me, what is hope? I'm glad you asked. Alright. Hope, biblical hope, not worldly hope. Biblical hope is a thing long, it's an expectation, a cheerful expectation. It is a thing longed for, expecting God to do something. When we back prayed for Sister Barbara, we were expecting God to do something. Amen? Amen. Alright, I'm gonna explain that in just a minute too, but the difference in hope and faith. So for Abraham, hope was the ram caught in the thicket.
Yes.
Amen? So for those in the midst of a broken world, it is a cross covered with red in the blood of Jesus. Yes. Bring in Lord a hand clap. Go ahead, okay. For those facing tragedy and loss, it is the empty tomb.
Yes.
Amen. Go ahead, another one. Give a hand clap. Alright. But it all points and it all starts with that little baby in a manger. Amen.
Amen.
That's the starting point. It's got to be here in this manger. That's why we celebrate Advent. That's why we trust God so much. So let me read a little bit. Let's read some scripture here. Y'all can remain seated because it's right much scripture. So get ready. First, read this with me. It's right here. Now there was a man of Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, who was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel."
Hallelujah.
The child's father and mother marveled at what they said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel."
Hallelujah.
"To be a sign that will should be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, as a sword will pierce your own soul too." Talking about his ministry and talking about his death on the cross. But it didn't just stop there. There's another person. Amen?
Amen.
Anna. So look at this. This is Anna, Luke 22. Luke 2, 22 through 38 up in this area. Now, we read the first part, now let's go a little bit further. There also was a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spake about the child to all that were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. Y'all say, thank God for the people that hold the line. Say it.
Thank God for the people that hold the line.
That's right. We're going to talk about Simeon and Anna and some lessons they teach us, life lessons on hope. Get ready. Get ready. Now, that's why I'm holding this hope candle. Is notice it's not lit, so I'm not going to burn anything down. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. First lesson is, remember this, no matter how bad things are in your life, never give up your hope. One more time. No matter how bad things look, whether it's your health, whether it's what you're going through, whether it's a situation in your family, whether it's a situation in your job, whether it's a job or no job, no matter how bad things are, never, y'all say it with me, never give up hope. Amen? Think about this year we've been. Whoa, what a year. It is so full of uncertainty, politically, economically, spiritually, socially. Whoa! Think about this. You know, yesterday, after I did a wedding, for another minister and his bride, and after I did the wedding, my wife and I, we stopped at a store, a little store downtown, just to get a cup of coffee. We thought it was the same, it changed hands. So we go into this little store up on the waterfront and get a cup of coffee, and I saw a gingerbread man, homemade gingerbread man. And I said, how much is that gingerbread man, homemade gingerbread man? The woman said, oh, the gingerbread man is $2.50. I said, that's pretty cool. Then somebody walked around the back and stood up and said, no, it's a gingerbread person.
Wow.
Wow.
And it's $3.50.
Oh.
I said, wow, not only did they take away the man, but they jumped up the price when they called him a person.
Wow.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. We carried it home last night and opened up and said, let's have some gingerbread man. Okay, he didn't have hair down the head, he wasn't wearing a dress, it was a gingerbread man. But I thought about it, that's what we're facing in this day and time. I was getting some Advent calendars, always getting them for my grandchildren, they've got them all their life, they know Paul's going to bring them Advent calendars. And I was looking them up, and they actually have changed the name of many Advent calendars. Did you know that? Because Advent means we're looking for Jesus' birth. They've called it Christmas countdown calendars.
Wow.
One more thing. You've heard this. You see, they're taking Christ out of Christmas and say Xmas. Well, the joke's on them to say Xmas because in the Greek, the symbol for Christ is an X. So even though they took Christ out of Christmas, they've got Xmas, they're still talking about Christ, so the joke's on them. But we look at what's going on around us, and especially this year, watching what is happening in the news, watching what's happening all over the world, watching what's happening with Israel, watching what's happening with other countries, you know, when Russia was invaded, nobody's up there marching against Russia. You know, other companies, I mean, we're talking about China maybe going against Taiwan. Nobody's marching against China. It's always got to do with Israel because, again, it is the Antichrist spirit saturating this world. Not just this nation, but this world. So, if there's ever been a time we need to rediscover Christmas, it's this year. If there's ever been a time we need to get back to basics, and just understand, this is initially and will always be the foundation of Christmas.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jesus, go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. This is powerful. So, if there's ever been a year we need to hear and rediscover hope, it's now. It's today. We need some hope around here. If there's ever been a year when the world needs to hear the hope of Christ, it's now. Amen? So it's very important. Advent is very, very important because it's when we look at Jesus. Jesus, the incarnation, Jesus, Philippians chapter 2. He was God, but he took on the form of man, and he laid aside his godliness, he laid aside his powers to become a man so that he could die. He had to be God to pay the price, but he had to be man to die, because you can't kill God. So he was the God-man, 100% God, 100% man. And so it's important, Advent. This right here, right now, this may be the last Christmas that we have on this earth. Next year, I hope we're celebrating it with the real Christ child. Amen. Wouldn't it be a very powerful, powerful thing? So let's go back to Simeon and Anna. So we're going to look at Simeon and Anna again. That's a handsome man, ain't he? White hair, white beard. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Hope. All right. Simeon and Anna, they were sparks of hope in Israel. But not only were they sparks, they were torches of hope. You know what? How can we be a spark of hope? That means that in a very dark situation, we start speaking up about Jesus. We start showing the world about Jesus. And as we spark, then the world will see that there's something different about us. I remember at work when I first went back. I was in engineering, and they got me back to do some projects at the warehouse. And so I go back in the warehouse. And one of the guys told me as I was going in, he said, "I heard that while you were gone in engineering that you had become a Christian. Not only did I hear that you've become a Christian, I heard that you've become a very strong Christian." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "We're going to find out just how strong you are." That's what they told me. And they meant it. Man, did they mean it. What I found out is they would talk about me, and they had nicknames for me that were vulgar. And they were doing this stuff all the time in front of people. But I guarantee you, when they were having problems, they might do that in front of people. But they would catch me by myself and say, "Can I talk to you for a minute? I'm having problems with my marriage. I'm having problems with my children. I'm having problems on the job. Can you help me?" But they'd get back in front of everybody and they'd talk that junk. And so, you know, I did. I said, "You know what, Lord? I can live with them talking junk as long as I'm able to tell them about Jesus." So what I found out was, the Lord just a spark. I was a torch. Think about that. Where are you a spark and where are you a torch? Let God's power reign. Amen? Jesus is powerful. So again, they were expecting the fulfillment of what he promised. They believed it. They hadn't seen it yet, but they believed it, and they were waiting for that promised child. Now, I won't keep you long today, I don't think. If I do, just hope that I close early. Hope. All right, let's go ahead. They were ready to see God act. They were ready to see God do great things. Amen. What about you? Are you ready to see God act this year?
Yes.
Are you ready to see God do great things?
Yes.
Amen.
If you're ready to see Him act, you're ready to see Him do great things, I want to hear it one time. Come on. Are you expecting God to do something special? So here it goes. Day after day, year after year, Simeon and Anna served God faithfully, inspired by hope that God was going to work. But they never saw it. How many in here, you keep believing, you keep trusting, but you haven't seen it yet?
Yes.
And the devil tells you might as well quit, you might as well stop, because it's not going to happen. Don't listen to that.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
I'm going to give you a Greek Hebrew word next time the devil tells you that. I'm going to give you this Greek and Hebrew together. Ready? Ready? All right. Even though they couldn't see it, they believed it, remained hopeful. Even when they were surrounded by hardship, even as they grew older and older, what I have discovered is the older I get, the better I was. But you know what? The older I get, the better God gets.
Amen.
I can't wait to see Him. I can't wait for Him to hold me in His arms. Amen. So Simeon and Anna, they still held on to their hope. So let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for God to do? Just think about it. What are you you waiting for God to do? Can you hold on to your little lamp of hope and watch God do something special? Maybe it's a relationship problem. Maybe it's a family problem. Maybe it's a job problem. Whatever the problem is a spiritual problem, mental problem, emotional problem. But you've got hope. You're holding on to hope that God is going to take hold of it. And He's already working it out. Don't give up now. Don't give up now, because now's the time you're going to see it. So now, Advent lesson two, hope sees beyond the present. If I was just looking at the present in a lot of situations, I'd say,
yeah, right.
But I'm not looking in the present.
Right.
I'm believing now. I see beyond this present because God's going to do it. Hope is the fuel of faith. It's the fuel of dreams. It's the fuel of possibilities. Again, it's the spark that ignites that blazing fire. It's an undying ember that speaks to life or speaks ready life to you when you're ready to give up. You know, he got called back to a church. He got called back to his church to preach homecoming or something. He was in a church and he was going over his sermon. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to preach it like the church is full. He said, but God, there's nobody here. He said, I want you to preach it like the church is full. Preach it. And it was on salvation. So he preached that sermon on salvation. Years later, he come back to preach homecoming again. And a man walked up to him. And the man said, Reverend, you don't know me, but I want to thank you for all you've done for me. He said, this is only the second time I've been here in 10 years. What have I done for you, young man? He said, you remember that Sunday that you preached to nobody? He said, yes, sir. He said, you remember you preached like your coattail was on fire and the nearest water bucket was a mile away? He said, yes, sir, I remember that. He said, you didn't know. He said, but I was an alcoholic. And he said, I lost my job, I lost my family, I lost everything. And he said, I was cold because it was snowing. He said, and I crawled up under the church because there was easy access in there just trying to warm up. And he said, there I was up under the sanctuary. And all of a sudden, this what I thought was a crazy man started preaching. He said, I tried to get out from under that place. He said, but my pants got caught. And I couldn't go anywhere. He said, I had to listen to the entire sermon. This is a true story. He said, I had to listen to the entire sermon. He said, at first I was frustrated at the situation. Then I got frustrated at God. He said, but by the time it was through, I was frustrated at me. And he said, in that church, under that floor, while you're preaching and nobody's in there, I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He said, I've come back in here in this church, and he says, I'm not only my member. He says, I take care of business for them. I do things for them. God's given me back everything I lost, and I just want to thank you for putting hope back in my life. You see, hope sees beyond what you're in right now. Amen? So no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad they have been, no matter the struggles that you are facing, no matter the seasons of darkness that you are facing right now, no matter the pain that you are going through, Jesus Christ is at work. Y'all say that. God is at work. Say it. God is at work. Say it again. God is at work. And now say this. That is my hope. That is my hope. Say it again. That is my hope. Amen? Allow hope to be alive even in your deepest and darkest pain, because hope chases away darkness and uncertainty. Ask that man who got his britches caught underneath that church trying to get warm and then trying to leave and he couldn't. And he went in there trying to get warm and didn't know that not only was he going to get warm, but his heart was going to get warm, his spirit was going to get warm, and he was going to give his heart to Jesus Christ. And God was going to restore him. So now, let's get again. Move on. I told y'all to hope that I'll do this fast. I said hope. All right. Here it goes. Hope sees beyond the present. Here it goes. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope. it patiently.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's really kind of funny because yesterday we're doing the wedding, and this minister was older. He was close to, I mean, 70, in his late 70s, maybe almost 80. And we were doing the Ruth thing, and I said, and she was there. They were looking so sweet, and it was just awesome. And I said, entreat me not to leave you. And I said, entreat me not to leave you, or to return from falling. And they said, return from falling. And I said, where you go? And they said, where you go? Then each of them said, I will go. And I said, can you wait a minute? His bride started laughing because he started saying it before she even got a chance to say it. And after that, I got a chance, and God's got a sense of humor. Because after that, the very first thing I read was 1 Corinthians 13. I said, love is patient. Amen.
Amen.
In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Romans 8, 24 through 27. Get ready. Hope exists before reality comes to pass. Well, we're hoping for a good time. If I got to wait till the very last minute, if I'm hoping for it, I'm going to keep on hoping. Hope precedes reality.
Yes.
Hope is very powerful. Hope by its very nature exceeds or exists in the uncertainty. Think about it. We're in very uncertain times. It's very, 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 very scary time for the world. When I see it, I just say, even so, Lord. It's happening in front of us. Hope is the willingness and the desire to believe beyond what you presently see. Next, here's lesson number 3. Hope believes God is with us here, now, and always. Amen? So here we go. I am getting close to the end now, so y'all can go and say my hope is coming to pass. There is no uncertainty in Christ. He knows what you're going through. He knows it. He knows your pain. He knows your challenges. He knows your struggles. He's not taken by surprise. He wasn't taken by surprise by COVID, by the economy, by the global unrest. God is not up in heaven walking and pacing the halls of heaven, sucking on a bottle of Maalox. He knows. He's already told us it was going to happen. He told us thousands of years ago that this was going to happen. He already knew it. It's real hope. Hope even in times of weakness. It's real hope. Hope in your deepest, absolute deepest pain, even when hope seems so far away. Jeremiah 29:11, my favorite scriptures. For I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future.
Yes.
We're not alone. You're not alone. God's got you. You need to hold that candle of hope. And then, here we go, I'm pulling in. Hope inspires us to keep on believing.
Yes, yes.
You've come too far. I've come too far for anybody to tell me there is no God. I've come too far for anybody to tell me that God doesn't still answer prayer. I've come too far for somebody to tell me God doesn't still heal. That God still doesn't do His work. That God still doesn't know how to use us.
Yes.
Amen. Come way too far. You know what the difference in hope and faith? Hope was, we believed a while ago when Brother Benny came up here and said, pray for her. Hope said, look, God's got this. We're not going to wait. We know God's got this. But faith walked back there.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Hope said God's got it. But faith walked back there and laid hands on her.
Amen.
That's the difference in faith and hope. Faith knows that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Or hope is knowing there's light at the end of the tunnel. But faith is seeing that light even though you can't see it.
Yeah.
hope is this thing's going to light if I got batteries in it. That's my hope. But faith turns the switch and lights it. That's the difference in faith and hope. Hope is what gets you to the part where faith can do its work. Yesterday, the very, very last thing that I said in that wind was, now, there's been raised these three. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Hope is asking your wife to marry you. Faith is sure saying, okay. Hope is you're waiting for the service, the wedding service. But faith is we go ahead and go through with it. And we say our dues. And then we go put our life together with God. That's the difference in faith and hope. So you got to understand that, okay? So now, get ready. Through him, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. So, this hope we have in God is not going to let you down. This hope, this beacon that you hold on to, I promise you, is not going to let you down. It can feel impossible now. If you take that first step, you watch what God will do. Hope inspires us. We know God. When we have hope, it emboldens us. And we just keep on fighting, keep on believing. So here it is. Get ready. Here it is. This is our closing. And this is what we'll get you to do next week. All right? First, I'm not talking about next week. Now I'm talking about right now. Right now. Now. Is your next step a step of hope? A step toward hope. See, the Advent season, we look for the hope of the birth of Jesus. We already know he's born. We already know that happened. We already know he's going to the cross. We know that. But Anna didn't know that. Simi didn't know that. All they knew was that God told them it was going to happen, and they refused to budge until they saw it. Is your step of hope refusing to budge till you see God do it? Can't talk me out of it. I know he's going to do it. I trust him. Draw hope from God's faithfulness in his long-awaited promises. You might not see it now, but it is going to come. Focus on the hope of God's continued work in everything all around you, and whatever life's thrown at you, you can experience hope. You just trust God. Start today. Start right now. Taking a step toward hope in the Advent system. Hope is dawning. Jesus is coming. My grandmothers have Advent calendars. They don't have countdown calendars. We're celebrating Christmas, not the winter solstice. This week's challenge. Ready? Get ready. No matter the challenges you face this week, I want you to remember this day. I want you to remember that candle. I want you to remember. Instead of reacting in fear, respond in hope. What's the difference in reacting and responding? If you go to the doctor and you got a temperature of 104 and you speckled whatever kind of disease you got, and you go to the doctor and he gives you medicine and your temperature goes up to 106. Because they call back later and tell me how's it going. Your temperature spikes from 104 to 106. And instead of 20 spots, now you got 50 spots. And he says, how'd that medicine work? What would you say? We're reacting to it. But if He gives you that medicine, and your temperature goes from 104 to 98.6, and the spots are gone. What do you tell the doctor? We're responding. It's responding. So this week, no matter what you're up against, instead of reacting in fear, and it keeps growing and growing and growing and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, respond in hope and say, look, I'm holding on to a manger. I'm holding on to a cross. I'm holding on because I believe God's bigger than all of this. And when you do this, watch God reveal himself. And when he reveals himself, expect something maybe a little different this year. Expect to see something you may never have seen before. I'm not talking about anti-biblical or extra-biblical. I'm talking about, it'd be about biblical, but in your life, because now you're responding in hope, not reacting in fear. You watch God reveal himself. Watch this, and when he reveals himself through you, watch the effect it has on your circumstances. But not only your circumstances, watch the effect that it has on those around you. Quick little side thing note. My mother-in-law, my first mother-in-law, was a devout Jehovah's Witness. My deceased wife says she can remember her mom bringing her to the Watchtower, whatever they call it, the Kingdom Hall. And her laying on the floor while they're having services, laying on the pew. And when my wife and I got saved, my mother-in-law kind of stayed back with the whole thing. She just didn't say a whole lot about any of it. And after about four years, maybe five, one Easter Sunday morning, my mother-in-law, who had been a devout Jehovah's Witness, called me up and said, what time does church start today? I said, well, Sunday school starts at 10. She says, no, what time does church start? I said, it starts at 11. And she blew me away. She said, save me a seat. Church came, service came. She marked, she little bitty thing. It's like 4'10" with elevators you can on. She little bitty thing. And she come marching in, and she sat down there. See, we got right next to the front pew. She sat right there. And when the preacher got, before he could hardly get through and give an altar call, she went to the altar. I went up and walked up and prayed with her. And she just put her hands up. She started praising God. And then she went back and sat in her seat. Church was dismissed, and she looked at us, and she said, I'm pretty sure this did a lot for the preacher's ego. She said, you're saved. You're saved. We can't believe it. You're saved. And she said, yep. I said, what happened? She said, well, it weren't the church. She said, it weren't that preacher. Weren't his message. I said, well, pray tell me, what was it? And she said, I've been watching you and my daughter for the last 4 or 5 years. And when you first got saved, I thought it would never last. I said, it never last. And then y'all kept getting stronger. And I noticed that your life was more full of conflict than it had ever been. Not y'all, but I'm talking about stuff you had to take care of. And there was all kinds of burdens and trouble and sickness. And she said, yeah, see? She said, but my head got turned when I watched. Every time you got in trouble, God showed up in a real way. And always delivered you.
Amen.
And she said, the God I serve didn't do that. She said, but the God you serve does that. And it does it frequently. And I want to serve a God like you serve. She is 80 years old and still serving the God that we serve. Isn't that cool? God is awesome! We had hope. We prayed. We didn't shove, we didn't kick, we didn't boot. We just prayed and believed God was going to do it. And then that Easter Sunday morning, here comes in that 4-foot-whatever woman. circumstances and watch the effect it has on those around you, because they're going to see God move in a very powerful way. Everybody stand up. Amen. Randy, come on up here, brother. I don't want y'all to leave after this, because we're going to do a baptism service out of this. And we're not going to have to move the tree. We're going to, this is cool. We're going to do it like I've explained it to you before we have it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you here today? And maybe things have happened and you lost your hope. Or you got weak and you find yourself getting weaker in your relationship with God. And you find yourself moving away from God instead of moving toward Him. And the farther away you got, the worse your hope got. Until you're right ready to give up. If you're here today and I'm talking to you, you need God to do something special in your life. But the first thing is, you need to draw close to Him. Closer than you've ever been. When nobody's looking around, while every head's bowed, I'm talking to you right now. You need to get closer to God. You need a relationship renewal with God. Can you take that bold step of hope and put that hand up? I'm not going to call you up here. Put that hand up and say, I need to touch them, Lord. Touch them. Touch all these hands of hope. They're hands of hope. They're hands of hope. And we thank you, because that hope, you said our hope would not be disappointed. Maybe you're here today and you just need a hope transplant. God, I need a hope transplant. My hoper is gone. I need a hope transplant. You come to the right place at the right time, because the hope transplant's right here, right now, in this building. And it's not me. It's not the church. It's God. If you're here, you need that hope transplant. You need God just to fire up that hope one more time. Especially what we see going on around us. Because what we see going around us drowns hope. We know that there is hope. If you need a hope transplant, we just put that hand up. Nobody looking around. God, give them that hope transplant. Give it to them. Show it to them. Let them see it. Let them know it. Let them know, God, that you're working, that you're here, that you're able to do whatever we need. Yes. And I thank you for it right now. Let's pray together. Yes. Father, help me to draw closer to you. God, also, help me to cling to hope. Father, we know that we have to have that hope to activate that faith. And we thank you for it right now. God, you're awesome. You're powerful. You've got all things under control. And I know that your hope makes it real. I ask you right now to bring that hope alive in my heart. And I thank you for it right now, in the name of Jesus. This day, this season, is your day. It's your season. And our lives are changing today for the better. In the name of Jesus we pray. The church said, amen, amen, amen. Now, Jesus, it's your
name. I don't know.
We're working on this, y'all. Again, we have baptism. We got to work out some things. Hold still. This is be still and know that He is God.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you have to be somewhere, we understand. That's fine. But if you don't have to be anywhere, we ask you to hang with us for a minute. We're checking her. We're checking. We got one person waiting to get here.
All right. What we're waiting on?
10 minutes? Okay, we got 10 minutes. So if you have to be somewhere, go ahead. If you don't have to be anywhere, just mingle for 10 minutes, and then I'll call y'all all back in. And I'll call y'all back and sit down, and we have this baptism service.